Hello, everybody. My name is Thomas Donva. I just go by the name of Anonymous. Welcome to AppleViz Unleashed for June 2019. I am here with the boys.
Yes, the boys.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, Mr. The boys Brady, are back in town.
You got your mixer back, I see.
Yeah, someone's stealing.
Yeah, my mixer's back. Mike is, in his all-togethers. I mean, all-together glory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Finally got the pool working.
We have a lot of stuff to talk to you guys about today.
Boy, do we. I didn't realize that this month was the 10th anniversary of when the iPhone 3GS came out. And why that is so important was because that was the time when VoiceOver came out with the phone at that time. And that was June of, 2009, I believe?
Mm-hmm. And we did the Accessible Devices podcast, guys, which is me and myself and Bill Tillery and Parker Waddington and Terry Borden at that time. And we did first unveiling of the iPhone. We each got one. And it was my largest, that I know of anyway, podcast, private podcast to date. I had like 60,000 listeners that time.
Nice.
And I know. And I'm still on the air. I don't know why, but
no, it just amazes me because you guys are familiar with Shelley Brisbane, right?
Oh, sure.
If the listeners don't know who Shelley is, you need to know Shelley. I'm going to leave in a show note where you can join her podcast because she put out a podcast about the 10th anniversary of the 3GS and why it was so important to us. And if you don't know about the history of the 3GS and et cetera, you got to listen to 30 Seconds That Changed Everything. That's what the title is called, and it's probably one of the best pieces I have ever heard in my whole life. So Shelley did a awesome job. I will say I did not get my 3GS until, I want to say it was early of 2010 when I got mine because I heard about it. And then I quickly got my 4. I think the 4 released it that summer. So I was right at the end of the 3GS. So I do remember the bulky things. And I remember, what were the, were they like 8 gig at that time? It was really small.
Probably.
Can't remember.
I didn't have one back then. I was still in the military at the time. And was it Verizon only? Or no, it was AT&T only, right? Something like that?
No.
Was it only one?
Let's see. Wait a minute. You know what? Maybe so, because I was with AT&T then. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had Verizon and I couldn't get one. I remember being really annoyed about it.
I don't know. I had AT&T back then as well. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't until later that they opened it up for everybody.
So, yeah, I was only a 3GS adopter really late in the game. Well, not late in the game, but, right before the 4, but it was amazing of all the people around there in that time, like Randy and Shelley and Jonathan and all these people that were back then were just going Google Gaga over it. And I think I heard about that. And that's when I got my phone. So great times, guys. Last past 10 years has been an amazing journey.
Now, I'm trying to think, Tom, did I know you back then? I don't think we knew each other back then.
No, because
those were the best times in the world, not knowing you, Tom. No, wait a minute. That's not in the script.
So I got the phone in 2010. I don't think I joined AppleViz until 2011.
Yeah.
And so 2011's probably the end of 2011's when I started doing podcasts. And that's when I remember you saying, who in the hell is this Anonymous dude?
Well, you're right. But what's interesting is that I don't know if we in podcasting do this, but you think to yourself, these guys are whoever, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back or anything, but you go through a period of time when you go, I I got to get with these guys. These guys are podcasters and I really want to join with them. And then you start talking to them and then you realize, oh man, how do I make the grade with these guys? And I mean this, I really am so thankful that I know all the podcasters that I do know and interact with them all. And it's been an awesome 10-year ride, you guys. Yeah, it really is, you know.
Well, it has been for me too. And I still look up to you and Shelly and everybody because you guys are the Lone Rangers and been around forever on the radio podcast.
You know, we do the same to you. I think we do all the same to, you know, looking up to one another. It's just because it's just awesome. And of course, you, the listeners, you are such an integral part of listening. If it weren't for you guys, there would be no one to podcast to, you know? And so we thank you guys for listening. Yeah, I know Shelly very well. Shelly and I have done podcasts together over on ACB Radio and other areas. And
She does a regular...
She does.
Max Accessibility, I believe it's called. And she's everywhere. So follow her on this parallel podcast. Check out 30 Seconds That Changed Everything, and I'll explain why it's called 30 Seconds That Changed Everything. And speaking of changing everything, with the WWDC has come and gone and the dust has settled down. I am going to announce something to you guys. Because we cannot talk about we can talk about new features in iOS, pretty much any new features. We just can't talk about bugs and we can't talk about procedures like step by steps.
Right.
But I am going to, for this month, I promise, last month, I'm going to reveal new features each and every month until it comes out so you guys can get your kicks out of it now and start to slobber and, you know, padlock
thing. Like, may I say that you probably what?
I am going to reveal most of the accessibility feature things that you will find in iOS 13 when it comes.
May I say that this is going to be probably the biggest job you will have done to date in describing everything when it comes to the update, and you're going to have to do all these recordings and podcasts. It's the biggest thing that you have ever done? Are we safe in saying that?
Oh my gosh. It is one of the biggest things I've seen in a number of years. Yes. Hands down.
Yes.
There are things in here, guys. Demos will come out when iOS 13 drop, obviously, but I'm telling you, there are some really cool stuff. You know, as always, and it's very snappy. I was very happy to see how much responsive it was. It was really quick and fast. It opens up about 50% faster than when it comes to apps. That is true. Everything on them is fantastically faster. We'll talk about voice control first because everybody knows about voice control. And the accessibility, we all know that has moved to the root. So accessibility is now under the settings right under the root, which is really cool. But what they've done is, you remember how accessibility used to be like this really long, you swipe, 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 and it's like forever long. Well, they grouped those up a little bit so there isn't as much swiping. So they actually categorize some things under accessibility now, which is cool. I like that. I can't go into details what they've done because it may change, but I will say the grouping is fantastic, so it's not as many swiping. And along with that, I found voice control, and I gave that a whirl, and that is as cool as is advertised. I really enjoyed this quite a bit. My only problem with voice control right now is the learning curve to use it. Oh, my gosh. You guys ever use Naturally Speaking Dragon, whatever it is?
Once.
And you remember how cumbersome and how hard it was to use?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Siri, like I can just talk to him. Hello.
Yeah, but it's still difficult.
Yeah, and it's just, I need a moment. One more moment.
Yeah.
That's what mine's been doing to me lately.
Well, it works with VoiceOver really well. And you can do typical stuff like open Control Center, open Notification Center, open App Switcher. Those kind of things work really well, which I enjoy quite a bit. Some of the things that people will like is that you can actually tell it to zoom in, zoom out, invert, turn on color filters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
On my glob.
Obviously, you can do tap, double tap, triple tap, long press, and things like that. I found out you can do 3D touch. I was like, oh, that's cool. So you can just tell it's 3D touch, and it'll actually open up 3D touch, and I can just say swipe right, and it'll tell me the first item on the 3D touch, and then I can just say go home, and I'll just go back home. It will do drag and drops. You believe this? I can say drag apple, and then I can come over here and I'll say drop apple. I was like, this is really cool. It's just so awesome to see this, because I have a good number of folks that have hand problems in one form or another. They just can't use it. They'll either have to use a stylus, a special stylus, or they have to use their other hand that is normal, but they're not used to that hand, or that hand is also starting to have some issues with it too. So I was thinking about my friends on those, and I think it'd be fantastic, but the learning curve is just going to be so there, because there are so much controls in voice control. I mean, I can do text selection with it. I can do cut paste with it. I can turn up down all volumes, rotate the landscape.
Wow.
Everything. And so it did a lot more than I thought it was going to do, which was awesome. And there are still some limitations, like
echo. What is it? Is that a factor?
No, actually, it wasn't. I was surprised how it worked with VoiceOver. VoiceOver didn't conflict with it or anything, but people are wanting to know if they can use their, like, if I place a call and it says press one. And that I haven't been able to do successful yet.
Now, if that's possible, that's going to be a game changer if that ever does work.
Right. So at this point, I haven't done enough testing with that, but everything else works fantastic. Of course, the vocabulary is so large that I have this puny brain that I can't remember for the life of me what how to do something. And I think voice control is going to be a bigger thing than people realize. I think a lot of people with voices probably won't use it, and that's cool. But, you know, I mean, if I could say lock the screen and then go wake up, and it wakes up the phone. Oh, there it is. That's cool. But I don't think I would use that for that reason. But for people that have any kind of disability with their hands or arms or anything like that, going to love it.
I don't know. There's probably going to be people like me that are just really comfortable under their blankets and don't want to reach out to grab the phone off the table because it's cold outside or something. I can see myself doing that. I've got a friend, another veteran who got injured downrange, who's totally blind and lost his left arm, like above the elbow. And he's got a guide dog. So this, I imagine, probably handy for a situation like that too, where you got your one good hand that's being used for something, and you'll still be able to do that if you want.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's focused for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Voice activities. This is a really cool feature, guys. Now, I don't know whether I would use this or not, but it's definitely going to be useful for some people. Voice activities. Let me explain this. You can assign any app. I mean, any app. So let's just say I use Newsify for my reader, right? I can assign Newsify, and you can set up in VoiceOver to say, I want to use this voice at this speech rate, at this
volume,
and I want it to have a different punctuation, because punctuation is changed on this. So there's different levels of what kind of pronunciation you want. You can have it set to different levels with call voice activities. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. But I've yet to figure out what I would use that for. I guess if you are wanting narrations or social media or something reading back to you, like apps that are known to read things to you, like Voice Dream Reader, if you have a Bookshare or something, to have a different voice so you don't have to keep changing it. And so that will be automatic by apps. So you can select whatever speech you want it for it and slow it down, turn it up, and then only applies to that app when you open it up.
It sounds like we're getting really close to the Star Trek days.
Didn't they used to have that on the Mac? They still haven't looked in so long. Activities or something like that, they called it.
I think so.
I remember trying to use them, and it was not great. So I never went back. But that's going to be awesome because there's certain, like the news apps, like a lot of the time I have my rate up really high when I go to a news app and I'm reading some interesting story, I'm like to stop and like slow it down. So it'd be nice to just set things right where I want it.
Yeah. So you can be physically customized for every app. So that's called voice activities. Custom punctuation is a new one that we can now tell the speech how to do things. So let's just say you have the number sign and I don't want it to be set as a number sign. I want it to say hashtag from now on. You can now set any of the one characters that you want it to say in a different way. So you can customize how you want the punctuation to say when you come across that, which is really cool.
It's almost getting to be too much.
Can you do that with anything? Any other punctuation?
Yeah, I mean, you can use, well, you know, I was thinking like, I don't know, and maybe if somebody don't like the way it says the pound sign, I suppose you can say that to be something different. You can, any punctuation you want to use, you can change that one letter to say anything you wish. Now, the cool part about this is that not only can you save it, guys, but once you save it, it will sync across all your other iOS devices. Plus, you can import and export this. And yes, I could export this and share it with Randy.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh man. So we're going to probably see customized punctuation files being shared around people. I'm sure there are going to be some really clever people out there that can come up with a lot of great ideas behind that.
Not me. I was just thinking about labeling them all exactly what they look like. Like instead of the tilde, just call it the squiggle line and things like that.
Right.
Just,
because
just confusing for anybody else that tries to use my phone.
Well, I mean, the tilde is a great one. That's a great one, Mike. I mean, we all say tilde is a different way. Now, a computer lingo as myself, when I used to do programming stuff, we always call the exclamation bang. We just call it the bang.
Yeah. I knew somebody that called that an upside down I one, so I'll probably use that.
Yeah. So you can rename any of those characters the way you want. That's the beauty of it. So, I mean, it's just limitless what you can do. It's just like, wow, this is so cool.
I think that's an English term, isn't it? Bang or Australia? Isn't that?
I don't know where that term came from.
Is it a European thing?
I'm not sure if it's, you know, directly. I think it's certain countries or New Zealand or, oh man, we're going to get some emails now. I mean, what does he know what he's talking NBA about?
I apologize.
NBA yeah. says bang, so I don't know.
It does. Yeah. I mean, I was working with a student. I was showing him MVDA stuff and I'm at the keyboard and typing away and it bang. And I went up, I thought, what? And I bang. So I was sitting at the keyboard and I was going bang, bang, bang. And it was like,
hey, yeah. Don't be doing that here.
Being kind of confusing.
All the police here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What else is, oh, now this one's is probably the biggest one of them all. It's the voice gestures and keyboard customization. You can customize your voiceover gestures, folks. If you don't like your gesture the way it works, guess what? You can reassign it any way you want. And not only can you reassign it, you don't have to use what we are known to use it. I can do a four-finger tap and that will do, it will run a Siri shortcut for me. There are so many variations you can do with this. It is unbelievable. Now, I will say you cannot do any custom gestures, meaning that you can't create your own gestures. You can create new things that tie to the current gesture. So in other words, our one finger, two finger, three finger, four fingers are still the same thing. Swipe left, right, up, down.
So you couldn't like do an
L.
I was good, but I was just going to say that you couldn't do like an upside down L to change your rotor to act like a granular thing.
I can't do an L to lock the screen. Nope. But
okay.
I can do, let's just say a two finger swipe left and right. I don't think they do anything. We'll just use that. So if I want to use a two finger swipe to the left, it'll just lock the screen. And so you can assign those kind of things. So there are really, really ton of stuff that you can assign to a gesture, but the existing gesture you can do. Now, you can't do any pinch, anything weird like that. some things you can't change, like the existing, you know, some people don't like that when you have to put your finger down the bottom to swipe up to get to the app switcher. You can't change that.
Okay.
But
it's a step closer, though.
Yeah, it's starting to really open up, isn't it?
It is. But what makes this even more, I think, is going to be dynamite is those keyboard users. Now, the keyboards, it's limitless. You can assign any keys you want to do any of these stuff. So, like the existing commands now, you can redefine the whole keyboard you want. You can run Siri shortcut by doing a command 5 or whatever, you know, you can do all sorts of things with this. That is going to be the big one there. And when I say customization, I mean tons of stuff you can assign to it. Unbelievable.
You guys don't mind if I open some fan mail of mine while you're talking, do you? go ahead.
Look, sure, you have some fan mail?
Apparently. It smells nice and perfumey, and just go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. And,
never
mind. All right.
There is a new feeling when you first get your iOS 13, folks. You're going to feel a lot of haptic feedback going on. Yes, they have introduced haptic feedback with VoiceOver. I'm going to explain this to you. This is not just a global setting that I turn on and off. No. This is totally customized haptic. So what you get a built-in set of haptic based on the gesture you do. So if I am on the home screen, I flick right and left, I get a certain haptic. If I get to the end where they have the snare drum, I get a different kind of haptic. If I press double tap on something, I get a different haptic. You can customize any of those haptic and vibration how you want every time you swipe, scroll, type, everything.
Jeez.
And at first, I will admit, I didn't like the feeling at all. And then I was thinking, man, I really would like it turned off in this area here. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I can do that. I can turn that off in certain gestures that I don't want. And so at this point, I'm just overwhelmed with all the things that just came out just for accessibility with VoiceOver folks alone. Now I can create the different gestures and point it to what I want. My keyboards has changed. I got this new haptic thing and my punctuation has changed. It is just incredible. They also kind of enhanced the, you know, the image recognition we have now that you could just do a 3-finger tap and it kind of tell you. They're enhancing that quite a bit in iOS 13. So if you come across a button, it will now tell you if there's an image there. So a lot of people use like a little phone icon. Say phone. And so it knows before we get nothing. It was just like button. Now it says phone. And not just phone, but it will also say if it's on a dark background, white background, and things like that. That is something to think about, and it does make some accessibility improvement when it comes to apps that aren't so accessible. And some buttons are starting to say things I never heard before, but some buttons are still buttons. But I, you know, yeah, exactly. you know, we had a great conversation with Sarah Hanlinger and Dean Hudson. If you haven't heard the podcast on WWDC number 66 and the interview with Sarah and Dean at 67, do that. Give those a listen, because Dean was talking about this feature quite a bit. And I told him, I said, man, I absolutely love this. If you guys keep improving it, we were talking about how we thought maybe voice control will start to change things, because in order for voice control to work, the developers have to label things so that can work. So we were thinking it goes hands in hands together. So if they have to do improvement for voice control, they're improving accessibility on top of that. So this enhancement of images and stuff won't be necessary. I'll do two more things and we'll stop there. The camera has gotten a slight update, meaning that instead of saying face and center picture or far away, it will now tell you if your phone is level with that person. It'll say, hey, your phone is kind of tilted. You need to tilt it to the left or right so you can be able to have your phone facing level with that person. So that was a great enhancement. And anybody that does any screen recording, my last one here, before we couldn't get VoiceOver to be on. I mean, we did. It'll hear VoiceOver and record it. But now it is inserted into the screen recorder. So in other words, if I it does the what do you want to call it? The input of VoiceOver. So it's right there. So it's not picking off from the speaker.
Off the speaker. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So that's
internal. Yep.
Yeah, internal. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you guys think of all that so far?
I don't know. I think I've learned a pretty big word, internal. That's what I think. Internal. That's cool.
I was just sitting here trying to think of the last time I feel like there's been this many changes in one update. I can't think
of
it.
And the thing is there's more, but that is the highlight of the accessibility. Yeah. I don't, like you said, Mike, is that I don't, it's been a long time since we had this many new features just for accessibility. And
yeah, I don't even know the last time there was so much to talk about.
I can point out the least amount of features, you know, just this last update. I mean, there were some improvements, but certainly nothing like this.
So which of the features you guys are looking forward to the most?
Probably gestures for me, the custom gestures.
Yeah. Probably voice control for me.
Really? Now, why is that?
Oh, I'm lazy.
I didn't know if you had some issues or...
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of those, but that has nothing to do with voice control. No, I just think I have to be honest here. I have been looking at a lot of material in certain areas, and I find that a lot of people are, you know, starting to really use them and think they're really cool. And I've heard some demonstrations in other places. And I think my glob, I would like to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it took me a while before it sank in. And once it kind of sunk in, I was like, well, I wonder if I could do this. And I can. And it's just, oh my gosh. And like I said, I think it's going to really impact the keyboard users the most. I think. Because it's going to offer so much more for those. Because right now, if you think about it, our finger gestures are pretty much used on a lot of things. Now, there's not a whole lot of gestures that I don't use. I mean, obviously, there's no four fingers swipe up or down, things like that. There's areas you can reassign.
I wonder if there's a voice control for speech on or speech off. I think that'd be kind of awesome. Do you know?
I do know it has VoiceOver on, VoiceOver off, magnification on and off. But that's a great question. I will have to look and find out for you. That would be a nice one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right now I'd do that. I mean, it's not that hard, three-finger double tap.
No. I realize that, but I thought with some of the really neat things, you could just, you know, if you're having some issues, you could just say speech off.
Off. Yeah, on voice control. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't see why you couldn't. I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to say it's probably in there because they had so many different other things like invert, and like I was mentioning, and the zoom in, zoom out. Why wouldn't it? But yeah, it's a good question.
Why wouldn't it? Because it's something that I want. That's why.
They're like, nobody's going to use that. Let's scrap that idea.
Of course, yeah. You guys do that. Moving on now. All right, this is I kind of thought this would be important for those Apple MacBook users out there. So I don't know what version you have, Mr. Mike. I know you mentioned 100 times, but if you have Apple, let's see here, a MacBook from September of 2015 all the way to February 2017, Apple is doing a recall on the batteries on those 15-inch models. So if you have those models, a 15-inch model between those years, definitely take it to your Apple store and get a brand new battery. I'm thinking, hey, if you're not having a problem with it, I would get a new battery. My gosh, especially if I have a 2015 or 2016 model, that'd be 4 years old, and the batteries ought to be getting low. So I'm thinking that is a great time to get a replacement for free. Not only that, but to help you not blow up your laptop either, because I apparently... there's been 26 cases of MacBooks exploding. It's a battery issues.
Why do we laugh at that kind of stuff?
I it's so sad that I would think Apple would be the last people that would have this problem, because we always make fun of the Samsung exploding phone. And now the MacBook has got the same issue.
And guess what? My MacBook mid-2015. I just looked at it.
Oh, now it says September, so it's hard to say.
Ooh, I've never had an issue, so.
Well, I tell you what, not only, you know, I have had a lot of people tell me, it'd be so easy for you guys with the Apple store near you, but those in the United States, Best Buy is now an authorized dealer to repair stuff.
Oh, God, I don't, sorry, but.
You don't trust him.
Well, you remember the good old days of the Geek Squad? I don't know if they're still around, but man, I had issues with. Okay, I had issues with Geek Squad back in 2004.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. I mean, that was a long time ago. Maybe it's better now.
I hope so.
But I mean, the guys that do it were probably born in 2004. So.
Well, yeah, I know. There you go.
They've been using computers their whole lives.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Randy, the Geek Squads are all now so-called qualified, certified Apple repair.
Okay, well.
Well, okay, so meaning, all right, so don't listen to Randy. If you don't have an Apple store near you, you can take it to Best Buy, and they will be your Apple certified place. So in other words, you can take it there and get your new battery replaced if you want there instead, or if you can have your computer repaired at Best Buy if Apple isn't near you. So, I mean, I'm thinking like Alex, Alex Hall tells me he's not even close to it. It's like 100 some miles away he is from a Apple store. And so he either has to ship it and it's gone for a week, or ship it back, and that can get costly. So now if he has a Best Buy in his own city, he can just take it there.
Yeah, and get it back in a month.
I'm not gonna disagree with you, because Geek Squad, if there are any Geek Squad listening out there, I apologize. Maybe you're really good, but the ones I've dealt with are not so good. So it could be a mixed bag of good things and bad. I don't know what to say. But nonetheless, Best Buy is out there, and I also want to talk about, now this is the one thing I hear all the time from a lot of users, is that they want to know if this dark mode that we're getting iOS.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to save battery. And I said, well, here's the deal, guys. And a lot of people probably already know this. Some people probably don't. So we're all going to learn together, because I learned from this article about how OLED and LCD works when it comes to screen brightness. Now, did you guys know, with a screen curtain, you would think that would save your battery, right?
Well, you'd think that. You would have thought that at first. Mm-hmm.
At first, because I said that, right?
Well, I mean, at first, when we first started learning about, because when I was learning the iPhone, I turned screen curtain on and I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. And then when I turned it off, I thought, well, I'm going to save battery.
Well, a lot of us probably don't know that still. And we don't know if it, maybe we think it does, but it turns out to be a myth. So
right.
I didn't realize that. So the older phones, meaning that anything that doesn't have an OLED. So if you have a 10R, that is an LCD. And obviously the 8, 7, 6, all those are LCDs. So no, it doesn't make any difference if you have a screen curtain on or off. That will not make any difference on the battery life. And so the dark mode for
iPhone. What about dark mode?
Nope, dark mode.
Really?
Any difference on the LCD. Right. However, in saying that, and OLED, it does make a huge difference when we turn screen curtain on and off. I didn't realize that LCD, why is that? Well, LCD, for some reason, it takes power to generate the black light. I was like, that's an actual color? Yeah, it's an actual color that has a display in it. Admit, you think that black would be like off, but that's not the case on LCD, where OLED, it does turn it off. So that little pixel, if it's supposed to be black, it will turn itself off, and that's how it saves the battery. So now you learn something new.
Right. I wonder how, still having said that, I wonder how many people turn their screen curtain on going, I don't care what those guys said over there on Apple Viz. It does make a difference.
I'm gonna say I'm one of those people for a long time didn't know that.
I still turn it on though. I
still have it on, just thinking that I'm saving. I was like, oh, but I now I can say, oh, it does help because I have OLED screen. But
before, oh, sure.
I always thought to myself, I don't know why. It was kind of a mental thing. It was like, okay, turn this off. Obviously, got to save battery. I don't know. I'm just gonna do it anyway. So.
Well, the reason I do it, seriously, I do it because I don't want people looking over my shoulder.
Me too. That's what I do.
That's right. Yeah. But I don't know how many, I don't know how many times that I have had green curtain on, and I've even, you know, doctors and nurses and, you know, just people that happen to be wondering what I'm doing. I get so tired of hearing, oh, you're playing with your phone. Oh, and there's no screen on. And oh,
exactly. They think you just lost your mind.
Yeah. Did they give it to you to play with from the place that you live in? It's like, I thought what do you mean the place that I live in?
I like, thought that was just me. They get people walk.
Oh,
up.
No.
You know that's not even on, right? I'm like, you know, you're dumb, right? Because it is on.
Exactly. And I'll have it on my hearing aid, so they don't hear the voiceover. And I'm sitting there going swipe, 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 tap, tap, tap. And they're just probably looking at me like, that dude has lost his mind. That would be kind of funny in a way. I would do that on purpose just because I'm just that way.
I have a quick story for you guys. I was working with an occupational therapist, and I was showing her how to, place calls, you know, actual calls that you use your phone for to actually make phone calls. She said, I got it down now. You showed me just, you know, really good on how to do it. I said, great. So you can just hear the tones and lift your finger and everything's good. So I can show my people. I said, yep. It sounds like you really got it now. And I said, she said, can I try it on my own? I said, absolutely. Boom, screen curtain off, hand her to the phone. She goes, oh, you punk.
What have you done?
What have you done? There's no screen. I said, you have to go by hearing now. She still talks to me, but you know, remarkably, she did an excellent job and reproduced everything that I showed her. She did great. So
amazing.
Yeah. She's real, really good. So having said that, I'm sure there's so many people out there and they still think that we're just playing with our phones, you know, just like, oh, you're so sweet, you guys.
Right.
That's a great story though. I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that so happened. That's so
wish true. Wish it were true. No, it was.
One of the humorous things that came out of this month, I wanted to, you guys. So I sent you guys this article about this $10,000 debacle of a MacBook Pro owner. Mm-hmm. So the story goes out like this. This guy has a MacBook Pro and he turned it on one day. You can hear the fan come on, but nothing on the screen. It's just black. And he's like, what the hell? You know, what happened to my MacBook? And so he took it in to the Apple store and two Apple geniuses later, and they decided, well, let's call Apple. And they two level one, level two tech. They even sent it off to repair shop. Two motherboards later, all new cables inside. Still didn't work. Replaced the whole laptop. Guy went home, came back, and the problem came back again. And they were like, what in the world are you doing to this? And it turned out to be that the screen was dimmed to zero.
I bet you the story doesn't end here. I bet you Geek Squad figured it out for him.
I was going to say, if you're nervous about Best Buy and that story doesn't make you feel a little better.
Hey, man, we would have done that the first thing.
You saw where that was going, huh, Mike?
Terrible, Randy. Terrible.
I know.
But it's just so funny. They actually replaced all these motherboards, did the diagnostic test, and all these people. But they couldn't figure out why the guy kept putting on dim. I don't know why he would put it to zero. But he remembered that he always sets the dim to zero. I don't know if he was trying
to save battery.
He forgets about it. So,
yeah. Oh,
we got an Alzheimer's patient. I forgot. You would think that guy would remember. I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was a humorous story, and I love that story so much. I wanted to see what you guys thought of that. That was,
I think it's hilariously good. I mean, it's not what it happens to you. But yeah, it makes a good story.
You didn't do a Command F5, did you?
I guarantee you that all of the people involved in that are never going to make that mistake again.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? That's
the first thing that they check every single time.
I bet they passed that memo around to the whole.
I know.
I bet they did.
And I guess it's just me. Anytime I have an issue with my computer and I like just turn it off and back on doesn't fix it, the first thing I do is just push all the buttons at once. I just mash the keyboard down just to see if something happens. That's my problem solving.
Wow, I have never thought of that. I will try that next time a computer doesn't work.
You guys know the Three Stooges, right? You guys still remember the Three Stooges? Yes. Well, they were operating a rocket ship once, a spaceship, and the guy goes, how's this thing work? And Mo goes, I don't know, just push buttons.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of the same thing, yeah.
Just put your finger on F1 and swipe it all the way
across. We call that the Geek Squad smashing.
Oh, dear. Sorry, squad.
Oh man, AppleBiz related stories. Do you remember Voice OCR document reader that was made by
Tom? I gotta tell you something, man. What? When I saw your podcast on that, I immediately went to see if I had downloaded the app because I thought, you know, your description was so good. I thought I gotta try it. And
had you?
Yes, I did. And I got a document from a packing slip and I went, this thing isn't going to read that because nothing does. So I put it on the bed and gave it a quick snapshot, took a snapshot of it. It read every blankety blank line perfectly, everything.
I know. I was like, this guy might have something. And I think it's because it had to send that image to the Google server to do the OCR. And I think when you have high-end servers like that does some serious number crunching and algorithms to it, I think that's what makes the difference between that and just using your phone to do the scan. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I went into work and I'm, you know, anybody that would listen to me that had anything to do with voiceover, students, tech guys or whatever, said, oh man, you guys got to see this. This is just really cool. And, you know, I do that all the time. And sometimes people think, God, I wish this guy would just shut up. Because some of the stuff I try, just sometimes it doesn't work. You know how tech stuff is, but this is just, it was beautiful. And so what you can do if you have never done this before is you can read expiration dates on milk or, you know, stuff that you couldn't do before with other applications, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a hit and miss with everything. I mean,
you
have everything together, it works beautifully. And for those that don't know, we're talking about Voice OCR Document Reader is the name of the app. It came out in 2014, I believe, way late in 2014. This kid was probably 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just developed this for the community of the blind and low vision. And we were just like stunned. And we had the young gentleman on for an interview and I just admire his wanting to work with us to make something like this. And at that time it was unheard of. It was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. But he decided he came back and redid it and wrote it from the ground up. And so it's a brand new 4.0. And if you have downloaded it before, it's free still. Otherwise, it's now paid. But as you heard from Randy, the result is pretty darn incredible. I don't know what they're doing to these things, but OCR is just getting better and better and better. Just like Voice Stream Screener. It's just as beautiful too. It's just like, wow, how does it do that? Because the old stuff doesn't do that.
We could name a nice big app. That big one
that's outdated and about to be defunct one of these days.
Yes. Mike, have you tried that app that we're talking about yet?
I actually haven't.
Oh, you should. It's amazing.
I'm very intrigued by it. I've been out of the loop on OCR stuff for a while just because of other certain apps that I've tried that have been so cool. Like, you know what? This is stupid. I'll just make my kid read this or something.
Now we have so many choices. We've got Microsoft Seeing AI. We got Voice Stream Scanner. And now we have this Voice OCR document reader to check out and for you to decide on. They all work real well. And guess what, Mike? Remember that backgammon we were talking last month?
Yep.
Guess what? They came out with it this month called Backgammon for Buddies. It's out. You can play by message. So if you and I want to play backgammon with each other, we send it by text to each other. And so when I receive it as a text, at the very bottom of the screen, you have Buddy Backgammon for Buddy. It opens up and you make your move and you send it off to you. And that's how it works. It is great. I'm going to tell people right now, if you have never played backgammon or don't understand it, it is going to be such a bear that you're probably going to say, forget it. I'm not kidding. You know, I mentioned before last month, it's very visually oriented kind of game. Yes, you got to watch all your pieces. So you're going to find, even if Mike and I were to play, we would be going back and forth to all 24 slots to find where everybody's at, because it's that intense.
But it makes me think of chess. It's like, because I imagine more people are familiar with chess. It's kind of similar-ish to that. Not the way it's laid out, but just trying to keep track of all the different
pieces. Yes. And
but let's just lay it on the table. All people that play backgammon.
Backgammon.
All people that play
backgammon.
Yeah. They should. You know, let's put it this way: people that play backgammon are very intelligent. I really feel that way. And so, explaining backgammon to these listeners probably is the best thing that you've ever done, because they're all intelligent. You thought I was going to go the other way, didn't you?
I realized what I said was. I will say this: backgammon is not an easy game.
No,
It is a fun game once you get the hang of it. I absolutely love it. Now, of course, you can't play against computers. The only thing I don't like about it, I wish I could play a computer for a while. You have to have somebody else that has backgammon for buddies on their phone to play with. But it is very accessible, and they put a lot of thought into it. So when I'm on my chip, I can actually swipe up and it'll say move 2 forward to slot such and such, or I can put it wherever I want. It's really accessible, but I was real excited to tell Mike, because I know he and I were talking about it. And so if you're interested in that, I think it's 99 cents. It's really cheap.
I'm about to try it out just to see. Like, even if it is too crazy for me to like really get into it, I'm very curious to try.
I don't think so, Mike. If you know how to play it, I didn't think it was that bad. Once I figured out how to get to different slots and how to move my pieces, it wasn't that bad at all.
Sweet. I'm excited.
Yeah. Give it a whirl. I'd be happy to play with you. So send me a text and we'll do that. And you too, Randy, if you decide to play backgammon.
Well, you have to be intelligent to play backgammon, don't you?
No, you don't need to be intelligent. You just have to learn a new game.
Oh, okay.
Or just fake it. Just push buttons. Now, I troubleshoot my computer.
Maybe you have to be intelligent to play chess, because I can't play chess with a beans. I can't do it blind. I don't know how they do it.
All right, here. I'll give you queen to queen, bishop 3. How about that one?
I don't understand what you just said.
Well, that's just, remember, it's a Star Trek destruct signal. Remember those movies? Queen to queen, bishop 3. So you had to play chess, you know, a little bit in order to put the destruct signal into the Enterprise. Maybe you don't remember those shows. Each person had a certain player sequence. And if you had, I think it's 3 of them together, and you had to answer correctly. And if you did, you put the ship into destruct sequence. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. You couldn't destroy the ship.
Well, honestly, I mean, it's just like checkers. I just can't play checkers. I know how to play checkers, but on a board, I couldn't do it.
Isn't that funny? We all have certain things that we have problems with. My problems with puzzles and checkers and just games in general. My brain just doesn't think that way.
Well, if I can ever find a board that has a very strong magnet, as in my hand doesn't shake everything around, then we might talk.
It's like a little 3-dimensional grid, so you can feel each square, and then
maybe I'm telling somebody some new entrepreneur stuff that they can. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Let's sell that.
Legos. Just build it out of Legos. You could easily do that. Lego people. Each one put a crown on one. Like, have a bunch of headless ones for the pawns. You just move them around.
Well, the thing is, that's the problem. I you know, some people can do this out of their mind, like queen to such and such. I'm like, I see.
Yeah, G7, pawn to.
So I'm going to say those who play chess can do that. You're intelligent people. I can't do it.
In the olden days, I used to play like C7, B3, A4. Those were all numbers on what was called back then a jukebox. And they played, you know, musical numbers and stuff. But games like, nope, don't get it.
It's like Battleship, only bigger.
I don't get Battleship either.
Oh, well, never mind.
I just don't get it.
That I can do.
If you understand the grid, then you got it.
Right.
Well, we have students that are like high school students, and they're opening Excel and they're playing Battleship, and you know, like I'll go crawl under my desk and go to sleep. I sure can't teach it
somebody
to him.
Somebody sank his Battleship.
That's right.
Oh gosh, there is an alpha beta testing, alpha testing, I should say. A developer looking for alpha tester for video. This is a unique one because it's an audio game text adventure. And so you can use your voice to do a text adventure. So if you're interested in that stuff, I'm going to put in the show note where you can find that page and sign up for alpha testing. And it sounds very interesting. I have not tried it, but I would love to try that one. And so give it a whirl. And then we're going to head on to our tips real quick here. Now, some of these, a lot of people probably didn't know you can change the name of your device. So like my iPhone, I call it my Mickey iPhone. Everything in my house is something, okay? Don't make fun of me now. Yeah. My Mickey.
Why not? Why should we stop now?
So if you're interested, yes, you can rename your phone.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you do is you go under settings, go to general, go to about, and find the name and double tap, and that's how you change the name. It helps because I'll get these things like iPhone, da 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 da, and I'm like, what is that one? Which device is that? And in my family, you know, we have 5 of us on a plan, and it's like, which one is it? And I said, oh, I don't know, but they'll see. Now, who has the Mickey iPhone? Ha ha, that should be me.
I do the same thing with my Echo devices because, you know, Guy, I was working with, I was working with some accessibility team with my Echo devices. And they, if you work with support, guys, they can look at your stuff. And, you know, all your whatever is online, your Fire TV or all your Echo devices. One guy looked at my stuff online and why this one guy went, oh my god. And I said, yeah, I have a lot of Echo devices. I really do. And well, which one you want, which one do you want to work with? Do you want to work with Randy's Fire TV, Randy's Echo 1, Echo 2? So I said, oh man, I don't know. So I changed them to like exercise room, subwoofer, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we did that in ours too.
Yeah.
And I have a confession to make. My phone is its name, it's just the emoji of the octopus.
No actually, way.
Nah.
I'm ashamed to admit it.
Wait a minute. Wait. It's the only time my brain just took a dump there.
It's the only time I've ever used an emoji.
Wait a minute.
My AirPods are both a shrimp, like the shrimp emoji, and my phone is an octopus.
The world just stopped today, folks.
Yeah. I'm getting off.
How long have we been doing this together? About a year and a half now?
Yeah, almost 2 years now. Just about.
And he says, I hate emojis. I resent them. I don't even listen. I don't even want them.
I don't use them.
And
3 times I typed
I'll
in.
Even defriend them. All this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he do? He has an octopus.
Well, we've seen it here, folks. We've seen it here. Mike has just lost his credibility.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm running for mayor, so vote for me.
Good for you.
Now that I'm.
What does that tell you?
Do you have an octopus emoji as a name?
And the shrimp are my earpods. Yes.
So when you put them next to each other, do they fight?
No, they just sit there.
So do you have a, is your iPad a fish?
I don't have an iPad.
Oh.
But if it were, would it be?
Probably. Some kind of sea creature.
Yeah, some sort. I don't know what other emojis there are. I imagine there's a fish.
Probably.
You know, there was a shrimp emoji.
My phone, I have the British, the UK Siri voice as my voiceover voice. And so she says prawns.
Well, at least you weren't talking about chess and talking about pawns this time.
We gotta use that next.
Oh, that's so good. I just lost my mind. One last tip.
All right.
Can you make a home screen favorite on Safari? No, not technically in iOS, but I'll show you something that what I do that I like to do. If you have a home favorite you want to go to all the time, every time you don't want to have to open up Safari each and every time and find the favorites or the bookmarks, do this. Open up Safari, go to your favorite website. We'll go applebiz.com, for example.
Why not?
I don't know why. I just came to my mind at applebiz.com. And towards the bottom center is shared button. And in that shared button is add to home screen.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah.
And once you add it to the home screen, it becomes an icon on your home screen, just like any other app. All you have to do is just double tap that. And from now on, it opens up directly to applebiz.com.
What was the name of that site again?
It is applebiz.com.
Okay.
A-P-L-E-V-I-S-D.
I don't know if I've ever been there. Let me just check it out.
It's got a it's got pictures of like prawns on it. And
that's right. And then we're going to wrap it up. Before we do that, now, Michael, you remember last month that Randy and I discussed about something that we wanted to talk about real quick, and it was our Microsoft experience. This is a true story. I found a bee my eyes just one up on me. It is the bomb. Now that it has Microsoft accessibility team on there that you can actually talk with. So I tried it last month. I had a computer problem. I swapped out my hard drive with a brand new SSD solid state drive, right? And for the life of me, when I installed the Microsoft CD, it would not take my key for anything. I couldn't figure it out. So I said, I wonder if this Be My Eyes thing will work. So I got out and I tried this Microsoft team thing. And you know what? Those guys and gals are the nicest people I've ever met. They stood on the phone with me for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
And the whole time they were able to see what I was doing on the screen. And these people know Narrator really well. And I was really surprised and so happy that they know everything about accessibility on there. Because they'll say, you need to do this and that. And if you can't do it, they'll even terminal remote into your laptop or your desktop in case you don't can't do something. But make a long story short, it was one of the most awesome experiences I've ever had. And I just saw today that Google announced that they are now, or I say Be My Eyes, just announced that Google is now global.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As well. So you got Google, you got Microsoft, and I have no idea. Don't make fun of me on this one, but what's that herbal essence?
Herbal shampoo?
Yes, the shampoo people are on there too. I don't know why I would call it for accessibility problem, but I'm having a problem dispensing my shampoo.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so that was my experience with Microsoft and the Be My Eyes. So if you guys ever get stuck somewhere and you have a Microsoft problem, use Be My Eyes and call Microsoft. I even did it like at 11 o'clock at night. It's 24/7 all night long. There's always somebody there.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that. I thought they cut it off at a certain point.
Google does. It says right on there that it's a certain time, but the Microsoft is 24/7. Beautiful. That's my story about Microsoft and it Be My Eyes. Oh, God, I love that app so much.
Oh, yeah. Great app.
Yep. Well, anyway, that is it. You guys got anything to share of something new or heard of anything?
I don't. Truthfully, I've been working like a dog. So I've kind of been out of the loop as far as trying anything new except for the OCR app that Thomas was talking about.
My dog lays around all day.
Well, there you go.
He just sits around and barks at mailman every time he comes by. I can't see you doing that, but
well, no, I take a little different approach. I wait for mine with a knife in my hand so that I can open up all the packages, not for any other reasons.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who would assume otherwise?
I don't know.
Oh. Red rum.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, thank you again for another awesome month. Next month, I will have another set of things you can find in iOS 13 that's not due to accessibility. Lots of cool stuff to look into that as well. So stay tuned to that. And that is going to sum up for AppleViz Unleashed for June 2019. If you have any emails you would like to send us, suggestions, feedbacks, they all go directly to complaints that go directly to Randy.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And don't pay any attention to what's his name over there. He doesn't even know how to play checkers.
Exactly. And send it to unleashed@applevis.com. My name is Thomas Donville. I also go by the name of Anonymous. And here with me is Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. We'll see you guys next month. Bye-bye.
This AppleViz Unleashed podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.appleviz.com.